Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Appreciate everybody joining us and tuning in today. Again, Father John, thank you very much for coming and joining us here.
No, my pleasure, my pleasure.
So, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about nine contentious topics or subjects
Contentious, yes.
that dividing parts of our world and our church. And so we're going to talk specifically and get Father's input on what the church actually teaches about a lot of these things. We talked
Okay.
2 weeks ago about contraception and last week about abortion. And so today we're going to hit arguably a topic that society thinks that us in the Catholic Church are, stuck in the 1700s. And
Oh.
it's the topic of cohabitation. So, Father,
Yes,
I
that's
think
a
maybe the first
fancy
thing we ought to
word.
do is
It's a fancy term for
let's define the word.
it's a fancy term for a fornication. Yeah. Okay, shall we jump right in?
Yeah, let's go.
God help you. God help us. So is one of those sins that St. Paul says fornicators will not enter the kingdom of God. And so what is fornication? Why does the church talk about these things? It's interesting because people use the term, and sometimes we'll go to confession and say, they had premarital sex. To which I say, you mean you had non-marital sex? Are you getting married to this person? Well, no. That's not pre, that's non. It's non-marital sex. And we have one of the great, I would all your listeners, I would recommend there's a great CD. I don't know if they have CDs anymore, but a great talk out there by Janet Smith is called Why Premarital Sex, Why Non-Marital Sex is Stupid. Why sex outside of marriage is stupid. But I think we have to go back and look at the theology of the body. What does the church say? What does the Bible say? That the marital act, man and woman coming together, the total gift of self, the total free gift of self, it speaks a language. And it says, I give myself all to you. I give myself all to you. Now, Scott Hahn, he made a statement once, and I'm not sure if it's true. There's some scholars that will disagree and some that don't. Even where the, I think we talked about this before, where the word sex comes from. It's from the word sex. That's how you say, that's why you say six in Latin is S-E-X. But in the Catholic Ten Commandments, the sixth commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. So in other words, premarital sex is like adultery. You're lying with your body, and all sin is adultery against our Lord. And it's a sin of adultery against your future spouse. And you're also lying with your body because your body says, hey, I love you so much, I can have a child with you. Why aren't you married then? So, sex. So, I think for many scholars would say, and I don't have them here in front of me, that the church would always say the union of man and woman was called the marital act. What if they're not married? Well, we have to give it a word. We'll call it the six. You're sixing each other. Because seven is the perfection, six is not. And we don't need to quote any, we can talk about the Bible, but we can just use common sense. And even modern psychology will say if you want to get married one day, don't have premarital sex. Because it reduces your chance of a successful marriage. If you live together, if you cohabitate, then you make it personal. You play house. It does psychological things to their heart and your mind. Your body thinks you're married, but in your head, you're like, well, I can get out of this. We're not actually married. Even the little kids know the nursery rhyme, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. Well, for many college students now, it's the other way around. They have sex and then they move in, and then if they discern, well, I guess we'll get married. Wow, he just did that backwards. He just did it backwards. Because then premarital sex is full of fear. Hopefully they won't get pregnant. And it also speaks a language. It says, I'm gonna take something from you. Take something from you. It's an abuse. It's an abuse. And little do they know they're using each other. I think they know that they're using each other. Because if it's not a promise of permanence, not redoing your marital vows, you're just using each other. Right now, I just want right now, I'm gonna use your body that I can pleasure mine. That's what you're saying. And it sabotages marriages. And we don't need to know, well, that's what the Bible says. No, that's what modern psychological, sociological say. The more, and girls, the more co-partners they have, the more sexual partners, they'll say whatever the least chance they have of having a permanent commitment. Sometimes when I'm meeting with couples, I'll tell them, a lot of times they're not married, but they're living together and they may be legally married. And we'll say, okay, we'll get you married in the church. Let's work through this. And we'll set a date. And we'll say, let's back off from this date. Why don't both of you go to confession and live as brother and sister for a while? Start dating again. Start to get to know woo her. And I usually turn to the woman and I said, you do not want him getting used to having sex with people he's not married to. He's already used to that with you. He thinks of this as normal. You have to be retrain your body and retrain your soul because that's where it belongs. Again, good sex does not make a good marriage. Good marriage makes for good sex. Marriage protects sex. If good sex made for good marriage, then porn stars would have the best marriages. And they do not. They have the worst. And girls and guys with what they call now in quotations body counts, high body counts, they lack the ability to bond. Now, I've heard people mock this image, but I think it's a real one. That the heart is made to bond with one person. It's made for that. It's kind of like the piece of scotch tape when you put it on someone's t-shirt and rip it off, and then you put it on another person's t-shirt and rip it off. After a while, it loses its ability to stick.
Stick.
It loses the ability. Forget about, I mean, the sin is important. They'll say, yeah, I know we're not supposed to do it. God said not doing it. They don't sound convinced by that. Little do they know they're hurting themselves, hurting other people. It's not wrong because God said so. God said so because it's wrong. And he wants to protect people from heartbreak. People who especially, who give into pornography, who have high body counts, who will test drive each other. You hear that too. Oh, Father John, when you buy a car, you test drive it first. What a horrific image.
Analogy.
What a horrific analogy. Now they will use that on us. And I usually ask them, okay, which one's the driver? Which of you is the car that's being test drove? Which one is going to be left at the car lot? Because if
In
you're
like
doing this, if it
midfield.
suits you, because you're trying to find someone that suits you instead of you sacrificing the suit to make yourself holy to someone else. So yeah, we're dealing with a lot here.
So how do we how does the church refute the economics argument that you have, couples
Yeah.
that was like, oh, well, we can't afford our own place by ourselves, and so we're moving in together so we can save money so when we get married, we won't be in
Yeah.
debt.
Yeah, we got to call that out as just a bunch of bull. I would just say to them, are you telling me if you were single, you'd be homeless? You'd be homeless? Is that what you're telling me? Because it's just an excuse, which is financial. It comes from greed. Already they're acting out of greed and selfishness. Because oftentimes these are the very couples when they do get married, oh, we're going to wait to have children. We'll just have time just for us. Why don't you blow all four of your tires out now? You have two flat tires, now you have two more flat tires. And I like to use the analogy too of starting a long trip, a road trip. And getting married is the beginning of a journey. And when you're about to go on a long road trip, let's say drive from here all the way to Seattle, Washington, or something,
Okay.
what do? You take the car in, you get it cleaned, rotate the tires, flush the radiator, you change the oil, you start. How you start makes a big difference in how far you'll get.
Yeah.
But if you just get in and start acting like you're on the road, that it's a high chance you're not going to make it. And it that sacred start. But it really is an abuse of the sexual capacities. That's why we have to, you said it starts even lower than that. You know, it starts even beyond that when you talked about the money stuff. Catholics and Catholic priests and Catholic nuns, first thing we need to do is start celebrating our celibacy, celebrating it, because it is a gift to the church. It's a gift to the church. And what we usually tell, especially our girls, I said, you know, your husband, your future husband, you have a teenage girl, their husband is out there somewhere. What do you want him doing right now? Do you want him playing the field, test driving other girls? Or do you want him preparing himself for you? Because your body belongs to him and his body belongs to you. So if you want him to be chaste, then you do the same thing. Don't test drive guys. Don't give in because you're harming your future spouse. You're harming your future spouse. So celebrating chastity, that is part of the good news, that sex is better when it's inside of marriage. Sex is better when you're disciplined about it. And, you know, when you're practicing natural family planning, there's always a springtime and a rhythm. And if you adjust your marriage to that rhythm, you find that your marriage can blossom. So yeah, it's like you know, this morning I met with a couple other pastors. I tried to eat healthy this morning. I had a you know a little sausage and just some eggs and a protein, a little grease, but no, you know. And sure enough, someone brings donuts, fresh donuts with icing. Man, does it look good. And my caramel and strawberry icing. And it tastes good for a little while. Then you're like, why did I just eat that thing? Nothing but garbage. It's a lie of the evil one. So, yeah. So.
So, the other, I think the other common argument that we hear about as it relates to cohabitation is this. This idea that we're going to be in a platonic relationship. We're going to live together chastely. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with sometimes the economics argument, but
Yeah. Why
is
would you
that
put
even
yourself in a
possible?
situation like that? It leads to scandal. People are living together and not married, so it leads to a public scandal. The family thinks it's normal. Yeah, I think that's all just a smoke screen. All of it is a smoke screen because people want sex without consequences. That's what they want. That's what the secular world wants. And they'll try to put you at bay. Oh, I can't. This is for money. And we're going to try to live as brother and sister. They're putting you at bay. What's going on in their mind is they're looking forward to the rewards of marriage. They're like the little kid on December 20th who sees his gift and wants it now. I want it now. And then he opens it up. And then on Christmas morning, he's already tired of it. He's already tired of it. That's what makes that wedding night so special. And that's one of the things I tell our couples too. On your wedding night, how much of a newness do you want? How much of a newness? And they know what I'm talking about, especially the woman. I said, do you want there to be a newness to your wedding night? Because if you're having steak every night, you have steak on your wedding night, who cares?
There's no
There's no
difference.
newness there. There's nothing special. There's nothing, there's no anticipation. Looking forward to, wow. Like again, a Christmas morning when you have all those gifts, they've been out for 3 months, not 3 months, 3 weeks under the tree. And man, you say, wow, it's going to be great to just on Christmas morning. But if you do it on the 21st, 22nd, on the actual day of celebration, on your actual wedding day, then it's diminished. You missed out. And you only get one shot at that.
One
You
time,
only get
yeah.
one shot at that. Forget the fact that you're lying with your body, that oftentimes it involves contraception, which is a furthering of sin and use, often involves, the woman taking chemicals, and the man expecting them to work so that he can get his way, not have to have any consequences and be tied to this woman. But they want sex without consequences. They want orgasms without consequences. And when you give into that and you give license to that, two things happen. First of all, the devil celebrates. Hell rejoices. Got another one. Got another one. And then the cancer in their own marriage starts to eat away. Starts to eat away. And you start scandal. And, a lot of our kids, they grew up. They already have three or four kids and they're not married in the mom and dad not married in the church. That sets an example. That tells them that they're not living that way.
And I think it's important to point out, you have referenced young couples a couple times here, that cohabitation isn't limited by age. Especially in this modern, I'm using air quotes, world, where we have so-called senior citizens, people that are in some cases widows or widowers, and but they enter into the same kind of relationship, and they put themselves in the same kind of, as to use your word, scandal, or create the same kind of scandal that a 20-something year old couple would.
They want to be young, and they see sex as something that will make them happy, but it's not connected to marriage or babies. And that is really the deeper philosophical problem is for our day and age. There was a time when marriage, sex, and babies were constitutive, that they were intertwined. But now you can have marriage without sex, sex without marriage, marriage without babies, babies without marriage, marriage without. They've all been separated. And once you do that, and when you get and you get control of the language, having safe sex, protection. And it another thing I've been dealing with lately is, I talked to one of my old students many years ago. She's like in her 20s and she's living with some guy who's in his 40s. And I said, "What are you doing that for?" We're seeing how it goes. And I said, "You're living like a married couple." Well, he's not allowed to ask me to marry him yet. I'm not sure I want to marry him. Then why are you living like you're married? Do you live like you're married? Well, yeah. Do you see how that doesn't make any sense? He gets the reward of marriage, but not the responsibilities, not the cross. That's what people want. They want the cream, but not the cross. They want the icing. They want the sweetness, but they don't want the sacrifice. And it's women who pay the price. Women who pay the price. There's women out here, they even say, "I got three kids and three baby daddies." They're getting money from all three guys. And what are they doing to those kids? It's messing them up. They're growing up. Daddies, all from non-marital, pre-marital, So this show is called "What Would Father John Say?" So you ready for me to get
Go
a
ahead.
little down and dirty and raunchy here? I used to watch. We talked about this before. I used to watch Dr. Laura Schlesinger. And people would always call in. Now it was always, not always, but so often. There'd be some woman who would call in, "Dr. Laura, me and my boyfriend have been together for years now, but he won't marry me and he hasn't asked me. We're trying." And she's always, "Are you living with him?" "Well, yeah." "Are you having sex with him?" "Well, yeah." And she goes, "Honey, there ain't nothing worse than an unpaid whore. There ain't nothing worse than an unpaid whore. And here's one other step that's even worse. We have men, women who have three baby daddies, three babies. And their boyfriend moves in and doesn't even pay rent. And that's what you have is a whore that pays. Now you have a prostitute that pays, giving her body away for free. That's what that is. And that's right, Harris, listeners, you heard me right. Because a prostitute sells her body for money, right? She gets money. What does she's having sex with a man who is not her husband. She does it for money. She gets money. What do you call it when a woman who gives it away for free? For free. What do you call that? She's having sex with a man who is not her husband for free. Man, that's pretty bad. They don't see it as that because oftentimes, to their own detriment, women see use sex to get love, and men use love to get sex. And little do they know, they're both using each other, and they're destroying their children, making a bad example, and then they go from relationship to relationship to relationship.
And they're lying to themselves, I think, as much as anything else.
Because they can't look back and see the horror and the damage. The damage that they've done. Maybe you need to be single for a while. Maybe you shouldn't, maybe you're not good at this. You don't know what you're doing. Tom, if you and I walked into an operator room and grabbed a scalpel, started operating on someone, we would be, we don't know what we're doing. I'm not a
It's
surgeon. No one's
still a
trained
lot
to
of
be a
human.
surgeon. People think they know how to be married. People think they know what love is. And when they're having sex, they have no idea what they're entering into. St. Paul says, do not bind yourself to a prostitute. Because once you do, you bound yourself forever. She becomes part of you. You give this part of yourself away. You lose part of yourself. You're bound together. People don't know how explosive. I once had a, I was teaching high school. We had a girl came from a broken family, and I knew a little bit about her. She was an experienced young lady, even though she was only a sophomore in high school. But every time we brought up sexual stuff, the church's teaching on sex, she'd make some statement. It's only sex. It's only sex. What's the big deal? Little did she know that when John Paul II said the entire universe depends on what man is for woman and woman is for man. And I think people know in the deepest part of their hearts that when their spouse cheats on them with their body, it's devastating. And if I were to say to a woman, a husband who's been out with a prostitute, it's just his body, it's just sex. She knows deep inside that now there's been a wound, a terrible hurt. That's when a woman walks into a room and sees her husband looking at pornography, how it breaks her heart, enrages her, makes her feel small. And it's as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, it is adultery. It is adultery. He might not think so. It's just a screen. I mean, really? Ask your wife. She's okay with that. God said, and it does something to your brain. It does something to your brain. It makes, the first time someone commits fornication, like what happened? And they feel guilty. They can't believe they did that. But, 18, 19, 20, it becomes just what they do. It becomes what they do. It's like lying. When the first time you tell a lie, you can't believe you did it. But if you keep doing it,
Gets
that's
easier
part of
and
who you
easier.
are. That's when the devil rejoices. The church
Exactly.
has the greatest teachings on marriage and intimacy in the body. The body is sacred and it is the most easily defiled. And when we defile our bodies, our souls are wounded. What we do to our bodies happens to our souls, our minds. And to say anything else goes against everything that we experience. I mean, the experience we have in the world tells us. When I talk about this with people who disagree, sometimes I'll just go ahead and say, you know I'm right. You know this is not okay. You're being used and you feel it. And you know it. And they somewhere deep inside they know something's not right. And to acknowledge that means to acknowledge a creator and a designer. But if we can get our own Catholic couples to celebrate their marriage, their vows. We can get priests and religious to celebrate celibacy and what that is for the kingdom. That when a man and woman do get married, part of the reason we want people to get married in the church, it does us a favor.
Right.
It does us a favor. Because cultures break down when people aren't married. When we get people married, we're doing ourselves a favor. We're strengthening the culture, the family, the marriage. Now they made vows in front of God, and God will help them if they turn to Him. And often, marriage involves discipline. Discipline. I'll have a couple, and I'll say, just because you're married doesn't mean you can, get some whenever you want, sir. She wants to be wooed and pursued and respected. Her body works differently than it does yours. She's sacred. And that is the dignity of the marital act, because it says it makes a statement. I love you so much, I give you all of myself. And when we're not married, we're just lying to each other.
And I
They
think
don't
that's
want
the key. I think you hit the nail on the head there about it creates such a scandal,
to.
it both inside and outside the church, and it creates such a scandal that it confuses our young people, and it confuses, I'll argue that it confuses everybody with this idea.
Because
So,
sin makes you stupid, Tom.
yeah.
When someone is living with someone, cohabitating, and it's volatile, and they break up, finally, when they break up from that relationship, they look back and say, "Man, I was stupid. What was I thinking?" Well, you weren't. You were drugged by sin and blinded by it. Anyway, I see we're running out of time.
What? Yeah. What was the name of that? The author of the book, Premarital Sex is Stupid. What
No,
was the name
it's
of
a
that?
talk that she gave. It's called the
Oh, it was a
Premarital
talk. Okay.
Sex is Stupid. Her name is Janet Smith, Dr. Janet Smith. She
Okay.
put out a CD not too long ago. She has
Well,
a
if we
whole
can find,
series of
yeah, if we
she
can
has a
find
whole
this
series.
article, we'll have to link it in our show notes here for folks to check out. So, Father, would you leave us with a blessing, please?
May Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right,
Go
folks.
in peace.
Thanks be to God. We
Thanks.
are going to pick this back up next week with arguably a tie-in topic, a divorce and remarriage. And
Yes,
it's very,
yes.
very closely related to cohabitation. Remember, you can pick all this back up on Sunday afternoon if you missed some or all of today's episode, or more importantly, you want to have somebody else listen to today's episode. Get somebody else's or get somebody else to hear another take on the topic. You can always pick it back up on Sunday afternoon. Father, until next week, we'll see you, and remember to put on the armor of God.